Blog Talk Radio.
Finally, I'm finally free. Finally, I'm finally me. Finally, I'm finally free.
Of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I am your host. Tonight's episode is the Decepticomics. We've got a group of nerdy comedians that's going to talk to us and give us some information about what they do each night when they do their funny stand-up routines. And this is going to be a really relaxed, enjoyable podcast. So sit back, relax, and get ready for some humor on this one. My co-host with me tonight is LaTanya. So I'll be introducing her a little bit later. Just want to make a few announcements before we get started. Right after this podcast ends, be sure to sign in. Matter of fact, sign in now. Blurdology.co/blurred forum gives you the opportunity to talk in more than 140 characters about various subjects and topics. And we want to hear what you guys have to say about this podcast. And guys, feel free to join us as well on the Blurred Forum tonight. So that's blurdology.co/blurred forum to talk to us live. Also, on Zazzle.com, there's a sale, 50% off, all mugs and office items. So if you use the code BACK2, the number 2, your UR style, You can go ahead and get a promo of 50% off. We're selling mugs. We're selling mouse pads. A lot of people have really enjoyed a lot of the products that we have in our store. So if you go to Zazzle.com/blurredgasm, give you the opportunity to get some of those products at a discounted rate at 50%. And again, all of the monies that are going into the Blurredgasm store helps fund these podcasts. So we appreciate your support. And those of you that have purchased items, thank you so, so much for your continued support. All right, so before we get started, I want to pass the virtual mic over to LaTanya. LaTanya, introduce yourself to our audience and any new projects that you're up to. Feel free to give a shout-out on that.
Sure. Hello. I'm LaTanya, and I am the blogger over at sprinklesanddudes.com. I also am a contributor of Black Girl Nerds and love it. I don't think I have any new projects. I probably do, but I can't think because my life is insane all the time. And I live in Connecticut, and someday I hope to have a baby unicorn.
Did you say a baby unicorn? You
hope that mm-hmm.
someday?
Mm-hmm.
I desire that too. I desire that as well. A baby Pegasus, actually.
Yep. Live in the dream.
All right, so I'm going to introduce our guests tonight. We have the Decepticomics. Two of the five guys are here, and I think one is calling in now. But the Decepticomics are five malevolent comedians who are brutal, merciless, and hilarious. Their purpose is to conquer and destroy audiences with brutal wit and deadly punchlines. They're 20% smart, 20% geeky, 20% insane, 20% dirty, and 20% country fried. Please give them a warm welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Yay.
Hey. So on the line with me now is John Minus and Mike Brown from the Decepticomics.
Yep.
Yeah, we're here. What's up?
What's up? What's the area codes of your respective comrades?
Jerome is going to call from some weird number. I don't know if he has, like, his D.C. number or if he has, like, his down south number. And I think Gordon
should be
has a 973.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me see who this is on the line and see if this is one of you guys here. Area code 571, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Jed, and I'm calling. Is this, is this Get the Mexicans Back Where They Belong show?
Oh, it is. It is, actually. Hi, Jeb. How you doing? So where are your Mexicans currently?
Well, they're not mine, per se. But they're plentiful. What I want to talk about is I've seen a lot of them standing around in the yards and whatnot. And me and my buddies, when we get our disability checks, we like to cash them and go get a beer or two. But these here fellas, when they get off of work or whatever they call it, they buy all the beer. And I want them to go back where they came from. I want to count them stealing our jobs and whatnot.
Okay, this is what you do, okay? I hope you're taking notes. First, you just get a nice pickup truck, okay? Do you have a truck? Do you have a truck available?
I don't. What the hell else would I drive? I don't. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, see. Okay, so first you get the truck. Then you drive to where these Mexicans are and then give them work, okay? And then drive away.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I think it's a good plan. I hope it works with your Mexican fiasco or fiesta. Just joking, a little fun. I don't mean to,
I'm not racist or nothing, but
Of course not. Chipotle.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Are you colored? Because you sound a bit colored.
I mean, only if I'm applying for a scholarship. Right?
Okay, yeah. All right.
Not a big deal.
Okay. Hey, who said I was calling from some weird down south number? Like,
You live in some weird town. You're from America's Georgia or something like that?
Yeah, but you act like we got 4 digits in our number or something like that. I'm calling. We still got the same amount of numbers.
They just got cable down there. Come on.
You don't have cable down there while you're talking. But that's more of a logistics thing than it is, you know.
So, Jed, what is your real name so our listeners can know who you are?
Oh, my real name is Sarone Russell, and I was supposed to call in 5 minutes ago, but I couldn't find the house phone, so that's my kid's fault.
Okay.
You got a house phone?
Yes, I'm 64 years old. I still have a house phone.
Okay.
I'm 29. I have a house phone, so it's fine.
Yeah, house phones represent.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? It came with the cable bundle, and
exactly.
Probably y'all the second person that I called on it, so I just wanted to, I'm paying for it, I wanted to use it.
Okay, and then our missing counterpart is calling from a 202 area code. You said D.C.?
No, 973.
973? Okay, all right.
Yeah, maybe somebody wants to talk to us. I don't know what's happening.
There's a couple of people on the line. So, if you guys want to talk to us, I'll bring you on. I know sometimes we have people that like to listen in. So let me start with area code 516. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from? Hello, hello.
It's not me, even though I don't know what my house number is.
Okay. Okay. All right. It looks like they dropped off. Let me bring in area code 202. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where you from?
Hey. This is Big Bubba Raw from the Black Geeks. I'm just checking you out. You know, support a blurred.
Hey, Big Bubba Raw. How's it going?
Oh, man, doing all right. Just hanging out with you, checking out the show as usual.
Okay, so you're just listening in?
Yep, just hanging out on mute, hitting to the gym again.
All right. Do you have any idea what's going on right now?
Absolutely not, sir. I have no freaking clue what's going on. But I did read the show description, so I know there's some comedy thing going on. So I'm just hanging out, listening in.
That is good. I approve of that, and you will get a gold star for today.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. I try.
Because we don't have any merchandise made up yet.
I can buy some gold stars from the dollar store. You'll like it.
Yeah, we need something.
Yeah,
we need something. Right now, I'll go ahead and tell y'all the terrible ideas that Decepticons have come up with for our merchandise so far. Right now, all we have is do-rags with our logo on it. That's all we came up with.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're not really doing well.
Wow.
The condom line didn't take off at all.
I have a two-tone one. I have a two-tone one.
A two-tone rag or a two-tone condom?
Yeah, I'm trying to do too much. I'm doing too much, but, you know. I'm actually not on this podcast for Decepticomics' sake. I'm just trying to find, you know, a black girl nerd with curly hair who reads books for leisure who can put up with my shenanigans. That's all I'm here for. So if there are any ladies out there with curly hair, a booty of some sort, doesn't have to be big, just be there. And patient. If you have those things, just call into the number. The number's 646-54. Oh wait, that's my number. Call in. It's a 347, right? Just call in. Send me an email or something. I'm just trying to find love a little bit. Not really. I just want to put myself out there a little bit more. Don't catfish me either. That's it.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Please catfish Mike, because that would make my life so hilarious.
Like, for real, if you could make it a long, drawn-out ruse, too, like years and years, get his heart. Like, make him fall in love. Make him think this is it.
I've been catfished before, but, like, not in a sense of, like, a woman was being fake. It was somebody stole my pictures and tried to play that they were me.
Wow.
Another woman.
Oh.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's what you're being handsome. That's pretty much your
part.
I know.
What would Jesus do, right? You know. I've
been catfish.
Really?
Well, let me ask you guys. Let me ask you guys, just to tell our audience a little bit about who you are. I wanted to start with each of you, with John, and then Sarome, and then Mike. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and, you know, what you do with Decepticomic.
Okay, sure. John?
All right. Well, yeah, like I said, I'm John Linus. This wasn't my idea, but I kind of hooked everybody up together, at least the people who didn't know each other. And I just had an idea that there needed to be a representation of, you know, black comedians that was updated, you know, that wasn't so Def Comedy Jam. I feel like we're the next generation of black comedians, and that we're like the evolution, and that we're going to take over. And that's why the kind of Decepticomics name sort of came to me, because the Decepticons are all about ruling the galaxy through, you know, through just whatever, through power. And I feel like we're very powerful all together, like Voltron. If you can't tell, I'm a really huge geek. I have a problem. I'm actually seeing a therapist for it. I can't think not in terms of cartoons. It's really getting disturbing at this point. But, yeah, I'm from New Jersey, and, yeah, so that's what I tell you about. I tell you about geek stuff and cartoons and my screwed-up upbringing and usually being the only black guy in the room. So that's me. Oh, and my Twitter is Black Coyote. Sarome, go ahead.
Black Coyote.
Yeah.
I want Mike to go because he's looking for love, so he should probably.
No, I'm going to go last. I was put last for a reason.
Okay. Well, I'm Sarome Russell, and I guess I would be the 20% country fried portion of the group. Like you said, I'm from America's Georgia, which is, I like to give the audience a chance to go Google that, and then I want you to sit back in awe and find out how did I escape, how did I get to be here. I met the rest of the guys through the power of Twitter, and you know, we kind of, you know, we all have been doing our own thing, doing terrible gigs by ourselves. And I think I've been doing it the longest out of the group. And it's the first time I ever worked with a group, and it's been good. I'm the mayor guy of the group, the mayor guy with the kids. So I'm no fun on the road at all. I often disappear as soon as the show is over. So I can call my wife and tell her that I still love her and I don't have any, you know, any groupie tales or nothing like that. And I think I'm the, what else am I? Mike's the meanest, but I think I'm the most, I'm probably the most, people keep telling me I'm the one that nobody's laughing at me because I'm funny, but because I have muscles, and I'm hurt by that a lot, so that's about it.
Aww.
Yeah, he tries to be sensitive, but he looks like Jax from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Wow.
He do look like Jax.
And, yeah, it's hard to be sensitive when you're ripping people's arms off.
Shut up.
Okay, you said I was the meanest one to roll?
Definitely.
Definitely.
I'm not the meanest one, guys. Come on.
I'm the nicest one.
In the bio it says we're like 20% like smart and whatnot. Which percent am I? Which one am I supposed to be?
Did we have 20% drunk? No, because that's not Mike. That's Gordon. That's definitely Gordon. He's not on the call because he's drunk.
Yeah.
I think you're smart. Dylan is smart.
I guess I'm the 20% smart. My name is Mike Brown, by the way. I am from New York. I've been doing comedy around these parts. Hooked up with John because he saw the talent and respected the gangster, as they say. I think I came up with the name for Decepticomics. I think so. I probably look in the tweets, but I think I named it. What else? I usually close out all the shows, but I try not to because I don't want to take too much shine from people and stuff. I am the main attraction of Decepticomics. It actually was Decepticomics featuring Mike Brown, but I stopped doing that. I just joined the whole group totally. My alternate yep. precedes me. Huh?
I was just going to say 20% humble. That's dope.
Yeah, 20% yeah, humble sometimes. Man, I mean, there's just so many good things. I'm good friends with Obama. I call him Barry. We go to barbecue
wow.
together. We just say, yeah. yeah. No big deal. What else about me? I am a former millionaire. I don't have my millions. I actually gave it away to the less fortunate. And, you know, I'm just out here in these streets, as they say, you know, working, not twerking, just doing what I have to do. And still looking for that lovely lady. My wife, who has curly hair and reads the books for leisure and has a booty, who's a fan of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. So
we have some ladies responding on Twitter. So
okay, great. You know, my eyes are hazel. I don't have any kids yet. If you want to practice, please just hit me on Twitter. You're Mike Brown, and we can try to figure out.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, I did go to college. I actually went to two colleges because I dropped out of one. I got a degree in creative writing. And some interdisciplinary studies, which dealt with like science and math and all this other crazy stuff that you kind of don't need now. But, you know, it's all good. So, any other questions? I just want to answer your question.
I just want to say, while
Mike
was talking.
The line, it's just me and the ladies.
Hey, I just want to say, while Mike was talking, we had a talk about how dirty we were going to be. On y'all's show and how to dial it back. But while Mike was talking, I was really hard not to just switch the switch all the way over to garbage truck juice and just start spewing shit at Mike.
I feel like you could be a certain amount of dirty and have it be okay. Because my first question for you guys was actually, how often do ladies throw their panties at you?
I really don't get literally panties thrown at me, but I would love to know that experience. So if anyone wants to come to the show in Jersey on, I think it's September 28th,
come
by.
I'm sick of shit.
Or Houston, if you're in the South, we're coming to you guys. Just throw some panties, you know, or digitally. I don't know. Jump in my DMs.
How do you digitally throw panties?
I'm sick of this shit.
You put them online. 6 seconds.
Instagram video panty throwing.
Nobody throws panties at Mike, but people often tell Mike, "I'm wearing no panties." That's what happens.
Never got that, but. You know what's weird? Okay, let's talk about this. Let's make it the Mike Brown show for a second. I never really got a lot of attention or what they call it, Emson or whatever, until, like, I started doing comedy. And it's, like, it's kind of weird to be, like, a handsome guy. I think it's just because, like, in comedy sometimes, like, hey, I'm trying to be vulnerable here. So not all of us have muscles, okay? Not all of us do. All I have is, like, wit. So, you know, it's just a different thing for me. So I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to see what happens in the world and just try to be more available to the person.
When the hell did you turn into an R&B group?
Oh, well, yeah.
Really?
This isn't the PGT phone call conversation?
This is what it sounded like, because Mike is landed on.
He is.
Yeah, Twitter is going crazy over Mike right now. I just want to say the hazel eyes and the no kids comment alone, women are throwing themselves at you right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just got pregnant from listening to you. I'm like 100%
wow.
sure.
Wow.
Well, you know what? When the baby comes out, why don't you bring you and the baby to the show on whenever the next show is?
You see, and I'm the opposite of Mike, because I'm just regular-ass black man. Like, I just got regular brown skin, regular brown eyes, little mini fro.
Hey,
I just look like that's the description. That's when people describe me.
Oh, John.
That's not how I describe you.
Nothing special going on. Like, I don't get panties thrown at me, but, like, I talk about Golden Girls a lot on stage, so I do get hit on by large gay men. And that's not what I'm here for.
No, like, but that's, like, really awesome that men want you. Like, when I get hit on by women, I'm like, yes, I've passed the next level. Like, I feel like I leveled up if I get someone of the same sex to want me.
But, look, I know men. Men aren't picky. I don't care if they're gay or straight. There's no, you know, you don't get any special abilities. You don't get any experience points for getting hit on by a guy. Guys hit on anything.
That's true. Well, but I'm just trying to make you feel better about the gays wanting you, because gay people are awesome.
I did a bit about homophobia being dumb, and somehow that translated into please tell me how sexy you think I am, and invite me to some kind of colon party. That's what happened at my mentions today after I did that. It's weird.
What happens at a colon party?
Exactly. I don't want to know, and I'm not sure.
Oh, dear Lord, no. That's like furries. That's one of those things you really don't want to know about.
I kind of want to know. I mean, I don't want to go to one, but I want someone to go and tell me about their experience with their colon and other colons.
I've been at a birthday party before where I've been the only straight male there. Like, one of my wife's friends was having a birthday party, and she said, well, I can't go, but Saroma's off. He can go with you. So I went, and I was only a straight male there. It took me like 7 minutes to realize what was going on because it was a house party, and I got inside, and I was like, man, them dudes are drunk. They dancing with each other. And then I noticed, I was like, man, these dudes are really good at twerking. And then I was like, this is what happened. What happened was I was standing by a mutual friend, me and my wife. I was standing by him, and all of a sudden he turns around, and he's pushing somebody. Somebody had walked up behind me. He pushed me. He was like, no, stop. What had happened was somebody had come up behind me and was twerking their life away. I guess they thought that I was there to dance, so I was available, and he pretty much gave him the no, he's straight, stop that, you stop that, and he got him away. But I wasn't uncomfortable once I found that I was uncomfortable with the fact that everybody was making fun of my clothes. Like, I was the worst dressed person there by far. I had on black shoes and white socks. I didn't know that was a bad thing.
No. Yeah, don't do that so much.
Yeah, I don't get hit on a lot by gay guys. I think mostly because they see the way I dress, and they know that no gay man would dress like me. Like, they'd have at least the modicum of taste.
Yeah, John is fond of sandals and socks.
Slander. No, I am not Dominican.
Well, I only get hit on gay guys by online. That's it. I don't get real life gay hollers.
I'm not sure if I would. I don't know if that's good or not.
I don't know either.
I'm going with what she said, and this being if this was Final Fantasy, that would be like, you know.
It's
be
a
like
level
a gay
up,
dude.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah,
when
like
a
gay dude pops up.
Me, yeah, it's like you.
You get
feel
a pop up,
awesome.
Like, H1 thinks you're cute, plus 79 XP. And then, mm-hmm. You know, you keep going.
Go ahead.
No, I wanted to ask Sarome, you, because I was reading on your background here, you actually were a cast member on the BET reality dating show Hell Date.
Yes.
Tell me about your experience on that show.
How did you feel to wear the devil suit?
No, it wasn't me. That was a midget. That's actually the funny part of it, too. Because I have a real life fear of midgets, and I don't want to do.
Me, too!
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead ass.
I just talked about it on another podcast that I was on last week, and they made fun of me. I don't know why
I feel them so bad. Like, it's like I feel like bodily harm. It's not like I'm creeped out by them. Like, I feel like something's gonna go bad around growing level, and so when I see them, I'm kind of, you know, I'm wary of them. So when I got on, I didn't know it was Hell Date, and the BET UT is a special place to work for any damn way. So we went through the auditions and we made it through the auditions. And then once we got in, we all got into the casting room. There's an older Jewish dude there. This is how he announced to us how great the show was going to be being on the show. He's like, "You guys will never have to wait in line at the club again." I was like, "What the fuck?" That was it. Not you're going to have a career. Not you finna be rich. He's like, "You will never have to wait in line at the club again." And the room went wild, except for me. I was like, "I don't even go to the damn club." But it was good. I met a lot of funny people. Because they basically could just cast all the comedians in Atlanta at the time, and a lot of girls. There were a lot of funny ass girls. And working on the show was good because basically you just aggravated somebody for like 10 hours out of a day, and we had a lot of fun. And then we got canceled.
So I have a question. So was not waiting in line in the club like BT's version of health benefits, or was that like the thing? Really?
Pretty much.
That's fucking crazy.
Pretty much.
That's crazy, dude.
Pretty much. I made like $250 an episode.
What?
I cashed my check at the liquor store while I was working on that show.
And that was bottom shelf liquor. Bottom shelf liquor.
I didn't cash it easily either. Because it was an out-of-town chick. I had a lot of trouble with my Korean friend down at the liquor store. He did not want to cash that chick.
What
did you say the other day about cashing your check at Walmart?
Oh, that it was counterproductive? Counterproductive. Every time I cash my check there, Walmart only charges you $3 to cash your check because they know you're going to put $100 of the shit right back. I mean, you got to walk through the aisle. How you going to get out of there without spending money?
That's true. Good point.
Very true.
Well,
If Target had cash chicken, you'd be broke that day. If Target had cash chicken, you'd never get out of there. You can't walk around Target with $100 bills just burning your pocket.
I love Walmart. Like, I don't know. I think my Walmart is the strangest one because there's actually attractive people there. I may live in an alternate universe. I'm not sure. There's attractive people. It's Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Okay.
There's attractive people, and then there's rednecks, and there's nothing in between. And there's, like, tons of Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, and, like, it isn't the southern Walmart. I know that much. There's no gun racks.
Oh, none.
Wow. That is a special Walmart.
I've been to the headquarters of Walmart.
I go in there, brand new day from The Wiz.
Wow. Mike, let me ask you, do you guys market yourselves as nerdy comedians, and has that worked for you?
Well, okay, so John markets us as nerdy comedians. I ain't going to perpetrate about some things like, I'm not, like, nerdy because, like, I didn't get good grades in school and stuff. Like, I had geek tendencies, you know. Like, I liked anime, but, like, I didn't follow the backstory of people get powers and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I was able to deal with things that weren't, like, you know, I'm from Harlem, right? So when I was in high school, a lot of people weren't into the things that I was into. Like, you know, I was, like, a big neo soul head. I was big into, like, some comics and just, like, Magna, whatever. I can't even pronounce stuff. But I'm not the nerdy one of the bunch. But, I mean, it's worked to a certain extent. It's just interesting, like, when we do the shows, some people haven't been to, like, real stand-up comedy shows before. So they kind of or like, real live entertainment, like, live art. So sometimes it's, like, getting people to adjust to, hey, we're doing jokes. These are, you know, this is a set, this is this, this is that. But I think because we are a group of, like, intelligent, nerdy, quote-unquote, people, that it really does work because there's, like, a level of patience and understanding that there is a craft involved in it. And it's cool to see people out there doing their thing and, you know, whatnot. I hope that was a good
episode.
Trying to bring some weight and some velvetness to this conversation.
I think people get upset with us mostly white people, when they feel like they're not getting the full black comedian experience, because it's five of us, and they come and they sit right in the front row and they start heckling, and we quietly ask them if you'll stop. We're trying to enjoy a comedy show here, because they think that we're going to, you know, spend 20 minutes messing with them and telling them that their mama smells funny or some shit like that, and they don't, like, we're not those comics at all. And we disappoint white people all the time. Like, nobody in our group has a good white people can't dance joke. And
I did. I don't have it no more.
So we kind of let people down on that side.
Maybe we should change that to our tagline: Decepticomics letting white people down for 3 years.
That is the tagline.
That's what we do.
Just letting white people down left and right.
The only reason I'm in this crew is because I don't want to wait in line at the clubs anymore, so let's do that.
Well, you're in the wrong crew. We ain't got nowhere free yet.
We ain't getting, oh, man, we don't get any perks, dude. We
no.
Talk about this.
Well,
how can you get some perks?
What venues do you guys perform at?
We've done some big-time ones. We sold out a bunch of nice places. Still no free stuff. Like, we sold out the Broadway Comedy Club in New York, which is a pretty big deal up there, and
RFB Washington.
Yeah, twice. 10th Street Live in New Jersey.
Yeah, 10th Street Live, which is a huge room. It's like we get people. We get people to show up, but they just don't throw their panties at us. Well,
yeah, you have to live the dream.
Is that the goal, though? Is that the goal, is just to have chicks throw their panties at you when you do this every night?
No, I'm not.
Keep
your panties. I'm in a relationship now, so it's weird because, you know, I was like, yay, groupies, but now I can't enjoy groupies because I'm monogamous. And,
aww,
you know, that's
well, that's,
cool and everything.
But you did that
no.
for yourself. That was your choice.
No, I'm not saying it like it's a bad, well, maybe I am, but I don't
you
mean it
are.
As a bad thing.
Well,
I thought monogamy was
groupies.
A word for a long
you
time.
Just, You can't touch them. Like, you could still have, you know, your little pack of ladies that...
No.
I don't have... I'm very mean towards groupies. I have a sharp stick because I'm like, I'm not moving back in with my mama because of a groupie. That's bullshit. I got three kids. Do you know how much money a groupie would cost me right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like... Yeah, I understand that.
At least $1,800 a month. That's a nice... studio in New York right now. A groupie will cost me a nice studio.
And that's the low-end rate.
Yeah,
that is
low-end.
That's pretty low. I would think
that's
a fold-out bed. That's not...
Pretty cheap.
I'm kind of scared of groupies, dude. For real. Like, I don't want any... Like, I don't want anybody to write a book about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like...
Are you referring to Corinne Steffens? Is that what you're referring to when you say a book?
No. I mean, no, but she's not the only one doing, like, she was, like, she was the first one. She was the precursor of the book writing troupe, but everybody
she was the Harriet Tubman of hoes.
She was the Harriet Tubman of hoes.
Wow.
Okay? She had a group of hoes. Well, under these other celebrities, and she said, let me show you the way. She wrote a book, and everybody's doing this shit. Like, I want to be famous enough that someone would want to read the book, but I want to date women who would never write the book. I don't even want subtweets about me. You know what I mean? If I'm dating somebody. I don't want, oh, I'm at, you know, Bae had a great show tonight. Like, no, Bae did not have a great show because you tweeted that shit. Just let me be great by myself. I'm sorry. If you're a black girl with curly hair and a booty.
Once again.
What's with the curly? Why curly hair? She can't have straight hair?
She can have straight hair. You know, you don't
she
have
can't
to
have
hair. Just,
now, Mike has a tattoo on his wrist that says, no lie, no L-Y-E. That's what
No lie. That's what Drake meant when he sang the song, no lie. He was... I don't know, I've always had a thing for curly hair. Like, growing up, my like all the women like in my life just had like big curly hair, so I was like always into big curly hair. But now, you know, growing up, I'm like, man, I don't care what kind of hair you have, like, you know, I don't even care. Like, if it's yours, that's cool. If it's not, that's cool, you know. I know how our people does it sometimes. Just enjoy me as a person and have a booty, please.
It's not important, but it keeps coming up, the booty
yeah,
thing.
That's the only thing that stayed the same. The booty has been consistent.
You have to be grounded somewhere, right?
Right.
At least he's consistent.
Literally.
What's the best? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how was your day?
Oh.
He was going to mention it again, is what he was going to do.
I think he was going to talk about throwing panties again.
Yep.
Letting the panty throwing go.
Okay. What's the best thing about stand-up comedy, and what's the worst thing about stand-up comedy?
Who wants to take the worst thing?
I can say the best thing.
I'll do the worst since I've been doing it the longest.
Okay. I think for me, do the worst. Do the worst thing first.
The worst thing would be that once somebody finds out you're a comic, like when you're off duty, like if somebody tell somebody you're a comedian, you're not on stage, you're just at your regular job, or you're just walking the street, one or two things are gonna happen. They're either gonna say, one, okay, would it make me laugh, which is kind of weird because I'm not at work, I'm off duty right now. Nobody messes with strippers this way. Like, nobody makes strippers do an extra dance at Walmart. You're just trying to shop. Nobody asks cops to harass and beat them for no reason when they off duty. You leave them alone. You wait till they clock back in. So that's one of the worst things. And the other thing is, once somebody knows you're a comedian, you by law have to listen to this one bad joke that they've known their whole life. It's like, you can use this in your comedy. You're like, no the fuck I can't. Or I'll never get another job again. Like, why would you tell me that terrible joke? I had somebody told me a joke one time. It's like, well, this one time, like, my uncle was touching me. I'm like, why? That's not a joke. That's a terrible setup. That's some shit you need to be working through. That's not a joke. That's a bad memory.
That's a lifetime movie.
Oh,
come on, man. Oh man, John, you got like a best thing about comedy, worst thing about comedy.
The best thing, I guess it's for me, it's simple. The best thing is when you chill. When you chill, it's like you spent all your XP, and you just like you really did level up. Like you just feel stronger, better, faster. Like everything's brighter, colors smell better. It's like being high. And when you bomb, I've been trying to find a word for the experience of when you bomb, but when you bomb, for me, it's like getting all the way to Bison on Street Fighter on one quarter and then just getting your ass kicked. It's the worst feeling. It's a hollow emptiness. It's a howling disgust. Like, so, yeah, basically just, it's all on the stage for me. It's either ecstatic joy or bitter defeat.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it goes. There's no in between.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really like you had a great night or like a horrible night.
Well, we got a caller on the line who's dying to be on the call. 111 is the area code. So
what
call
are you calling
for?
No,
don't pick that up. I don't owe nobody money. Don't pick that up. Do not pick
that's
that up.
That's the NSA. That's the NSA. Don't answer that.
I don't got it. What the hell?
This is Brown.
You know,
Lizzie, I'm not dying to be on to call in, but I am dying here on the other end. You guys really are unfunny. I've listened
to you
for like 20 minutes, and there's absolutely nothing funny about any of you.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh,
it's the truth. It's the truth. If there were a tomato that I could throw over the internet, I would chuck the tomato at you. In fact, I would chuck a few.
Seriously.
You guys are just really not funny. No, they're laughing. I don't know why they're laughing. It's not funny, and a couple of people in the chat room agree.
Oh,
you guys aren't funny.
Great.
You don't quit your day job.
Okay, I will. I appreciate that.
Wow.
I really do.
Right.
I thought he was
talking
to you guys.
No, it's a sincere, honest criticism. I wish you guys would make me laugh. You're making me angry here at the other end. The only thing
you're making you angry. Wow.
Angry.
I mean, you know, that's the exact opposite of what the goal should be.
Oh, well, I had a great day, and so I guess I'm just making people angry at this point. I apologize for that, man. I'm so sorry. Is there any topics that you would like us to talk about? Maybe
no, I'm not a comedian, and you guys are masquerading as comedians. It's like identity theft. It's a crime.
Oh man. Wow.
What's your name again?
Brown Beasley.
What's your name?
And yours?
Brown Beasley.
And yours?
Sarong. You said Brown Beasley?
Yes.
Well, hey, man, I'm Brown. You said your first name is Brown.
Yeah, it's Brown Beasley. He just said it was Brown Beasley. Why do you keep asking? Oh,
okay, I said it three times.
I already said in the chat room that you sound like you have 47 or 48 chromosomes. You're proving it true now.
Oh, man, that's weird. This is our first customer complaint. Can we lift?
Pardon?
Can we lift our no bad language?
Come on, quick, spit it out.
Can we lift our no bad language rule for a minute here?
You feel the need to curse because someone's giving you constructive criticism?
Oh no, not constructive criticism, because I'm not sure if that's constructive at all. I mean, I feel like my soul has been touched a little bit. Like you're right. Maybe we should give it up because we didn't make one person out of the probably a couple thousand who seen us on at the shows, man. We should change it and do just the Brown Beasley tour. So I'm sorry.
See, nobody laughs. You're a comedian.
Actually, I did, but
try
Brown
again. You may laugh at anything. I've said my piece.
Brown. I respect it, man.
It's my honest opinion.
No, yeah, I do. You know, I respect it, man.
You know you're not funny.
I'm annoying. Thanks, man.
I'm funny.
Care.
You can catch him on the line if you want.
No, that's okay. Wow.
Okay, well, to me, that's...
Our first heckler.
Yeah, I know. We got a podcast heckler. That's some new shit.
Well,
I honestly thought he was one. The other guy that didn't come on, who was it, Dylan, that we don't have on? I thought it was one of your guys because he was, you know, chatting in the chat room. Oh, these guys are not funny, blah blah blah. So that's why I brought him on. I didn't know he was like an actual heckler.
Oh, that hurts.
No, I knew that was real. See, this is my thing. This is the best and worst thing about comedy, the whole performance aspect, right? So, doing comedy, you do your shows, you work on your jokes, you perform. Some shows are going to go well, some shows aren't going to go well, yada yada yada, right? You do all this. But then, because of the internet, people feel either they don't respect the craft or respect the art, but they have the layer to critique from the outside. And like what Brown said, if he's like, oh, you know, you guys aren't funny, that's cool. You don't think I'm funny, that's great. But there's a whole bunch of people that think I'm funny. There's like I got cosigns from like great comedians who I love. Like, I was going to give the story about meeting Dave Chappelle, but I'm not going to have to go through that whole thing. But things like that are great. But, like, if there's a one person, or there might be a billion people who don't think I'm funny, that's cool. You know, I really don't give a damn. But I respect...
He said we were committing identity theft.
Yeah, I mean, that's
real, man. Like, I had never in my life...
He was serious about it.
He's dead ass. But I don't think, like, entertainers are the only people that you can really come up to. I don't think people only put as much passion and damn commitment into telling entertainers how much they do or do not like them. Like, nobody has ever told a doctor that they fucking suck. Like, even if they kill their grandmama, you would never call into his next podcast and like, you suck, I hate you, you killed my grandma. But this son of a bitch took a break from showing truckers his taint on Chat Roulette to call in and tell us that we were masquerading. I'm trying to Google and see if he told me I had one too many chromosomes or one too few. I'm not quite sure.
You're not the 20% smart one.
Right.
I think he was just trying to call you, can I say the B word? He was trying to call you a bitch, I guess. Which is fine.
I'm sorry, Brown Beasley. Anybody with a last name for a first name, our opinion has to be, you know, weighted in accord with it, because that's a serious man. If your first name is Brown, you mean that shit, whatever you say.
Oh, boy.
If your first name is a noun or an adjective, you're pretty serious about your life. just in general.
If I was him, he probably says shit like that. He probably complains at work, and this his tagline is his name. He's like, the coffee is some bullshit, and Brian Beasley said that shit. And I don't fuck up.
I mean,
the hell wrong with you?
I'm not personally attacking nobody, man. He has his opinion. That's what it is, man.
I will personally attack
you. Yeah, you attack it. I know you will. I'm telling.
I've just never had my chromosome. So go ahead.
Yeah, somebody Google that. Somebody Google that chromosome thing to see if you told me I had one too many and one too few.
Well, for the record, I think based off of what we're getting on Twitter, a lot of people find you guys funny. They're laughing at your jokes here on the air. So I don't know if it's something personal with Brown Beasley. We don't usually have hecklers that call into the podcast, but I think he's the only one alone in disagreeing with your humor here.
Nah, I'm just fucking around. It don't hurt my feelings. When I first got started, I used to have I didn't have a stage to go to. There wasn't a comedy club near where I was at. So what I would do is I would go to karaoke nights and sign up like I was gonna sing a song.
Uh-huh.
And then I do 5 minutes of jokes over the instrumental of Holding On to the Years, and that would really, really piss people off. Not people in the crowd, but like, I don't know if you know, but people who go sing karaoke every week, they take that shit seriously. Like, this is their recording deal. Like, they're like, why don't you just sing a song? You're disrespecting the art. I'm like, I'm disrespecting the art. Are you singing other people's shit? What are you talking about? So.
Right.
Karaoke serious.
Well, let me ask you guys. Have you guys thought about starting a podcast? You guys are really funny.
Oh, God. All right. The only reason I say the whole old guy thing is because we were supposed to start a podcast, or we should. John actually has a podcast on the Non-Productive Network.
I
have a podcast called Comedy Outliers. You know, it's not on the network, but it's on iTunes if you search for it. And I think it's just like a matter of getting our schedules right and everything like that. But the shows that we do, not that they're sporadic, but they're like big events. So we're like, okay, we're in Jersey this time, and we're in you know, Houston in a few months. So I think personally, maybe Jamie, you guys can like help us out and let us know what you think we should do. I feel that we shouldn't do our own podcast because for me, it would just be like a lot of energy and effort out of my part. And I think we should just do them like every so often, like maybe once a month, we just like descend and get together and just like do some video thing. But I don't know. Should we do more podcasts? What do you feel? Is that like good internet savvy stuff?
Yeah, you Jamie, and you know, you obviously have it down. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are hilarious, and yeah I think
I
you guys carry on a very successful podcast, and a lot of comedians are doing it. Yeah.
I'm gonna do one. Call it the Brown Beasley Show.
He's still hating on the chat room. We have a chat room with our podcast, and he's still feeling some hater
on there. I actually signed on, kind of like, what is he saying? I need to see what's going on.
He's talking about Hell Date being 6 years ago and just some random stuff. So, Sarome, do you know him? Did you guys go to high school together or something?
I don't know. You know what the thing is?
Hell Date midget. And just
I've overhand slapped a lot of people, and I knew eventually this was going to come back up. I've open hand slapped a lot of people, and I knew one day it was going to come back to bite us. I was hoping to keep it away from the group.
Oh, boy.
It's just weird when the karma comes back in the form of a black man with a last name for a first name.
I don't understand what he wanted from calling in either. Like, did he think we're going to be like, oh, okay, we have to stop?
Yeah, like you guys are off the show.
Stop the podcast. Cut.
You guys get out of here. Brown Beasley's mad.
Like, you know what? I'm going to call them. These guys are so unfunny. I'm going to call them up. But I'm going to stay on this chat room until this show is over because it's so unfunny. I'm going to just keep listening and keep talking to people. Like, why don't you just wrap it up? Like, if I'm watching a show I don't like, I just change the channel. Like, that's what it is. Like, people just have opinions on everything and just want to share them. That's the internet, right? That's what we do.
That's the whole internet.
But it's good. I appreciate his criticism. I really do. I wish he could come to a show and see me when I'm trying to be funny. instead of just
maybe he can throw his panties. He will be the panty thrower. He'll be your first panty thrower.
The internet is weird like that anyway. A message board or a chat room is it's just a way for you to find out how bad you are of a person because it brings out the worst in people. I got called.
It does,
I got called a spear chucker on the Food Network message board.
What?
They called you a what?
A spear chucker.
Food Network?
Yeah. I was just, all I did, I commented that I think stuffed bell peppers are better with rosemary instead of parsley, and somebody called me a spear chucker. I'm like, this is bullshit.
What the hell?
I'm sorry to you're crazy. I'm sorry to even bring this up, but the only thing that's upset me about the heckler call was that he called, and, like, I think people, like, tweeting about, like, how it's, like, a monumental thing that he called. So he has his, like, internet fame, and I think he's probably going to change his Twitter bio to, like, oh, heckler, artisanal cheese maker or some bullshit. And it just, like, kills it. It's so dumb. Like,
and then his name will be trending on Twitter, and he'll feel like he's made it. Oh, wow, I finally made it. Brown Beasley on Twitter. Yes. Have you guys ever had hecklers at your venues? No.
None.
I usually don't get heckled when I'm on stage because people are laughing. But if people aren't laughing or if there's like a heckler, like the one or two times it happens, I eat them alive because I get really evil sometimes. And I like playing a game of wits with people while I'm on stage with the microphone because like the first thing is like, you're not going to lose that battle if you have a microphone. You're never going to lose.
Right.
Never going to lose. And if you perform if you perform like every night like I do, like you're going to have comebacks for everything. You can eat somebody alive. I've made shows where I just did 15 minutes just eating a heckler, not because I needed 15 minutes to do it, but I was having so much fun digging somebody into a hole. Like, I get off on it, and it's like it's another thing to show the audience, like, oh, this is why I'm on stage. Like, yeah, I do write jokes, and I have commentary on this, this, and that, but if you want to mess around with me while I'm on stage, you sure you want to do that? All right, let's play. But, like, tonight I've been feeling like doing it with this guy.
I don't get heckled, but people like to come up to me personally, like, take me aside after shows, and be like, I just don't think you're funny. At all, which is kind of worse. Like they're not doing it for the attention. They like take me outside and like they're concerned about me. They're like, son, I think you're in the wrong field.
Oh,
which is usually me. I usually put on some glass, pretend to be somebody else, and I take John outside and have an intervention.
Yeah,
and then when he stops believing
in himself,
John.
Thank you.
Stop believing in yourself. I take off my glasses and say, see, this is bullshit. You can't quit like this. And then I won't run off.
Look, dramatic. So dramatic.
You rip off your glasses. But, yeah, people do it to me like an intervention, but I usually don't get it on stage either. I don't know. That was weird. But I did post virtual Rotten Tomatoes on my Twitter in case anybody wants to throw them.
Yeah, I'm going to put mine up there, too, in case anybody wants to throw some at me, too.
I'm just going to put some emojis of panties, so if any ladies want to just throw some.
Oh, my God. With curly hair and glasses.
No!
I'm looking through the black girl.
Brown Beasley, that was a joke. That was a real joke, Brown Beasley. I waited. My timing was correct on that one. I did the little three. That was right. It was perfect. I mean, whatever.
Mike, I'm looking through the BGN podcast. The replies, it's a lot of girls on here with
I'm telling you, Mike is hot tonight on the BGN podcast feed.
Ooh,
seriously.
About to get my Instagram popping.
Oh, it's a lot of them. Just beautiful. Oh, shit, my wife is looking. Never mind.
Well,
I don't think I told my...
Go ahead, John.
I don't think I told my girlfriend about this. So if anybody wants to hit me up, you know, she... I got it private. She's blocked, so she doesn't even see my feed. So.
No, we're not. No, is this how the Decepticons end? Because we try to get John some strange. No, we're not going to do this.
And Mike, for the record, Twitter is wondering, are you single?
Yeah, I'm single. Single and dating, trying to date. It's, you know what? It's hard. Like, being single and trying to date. Like, I don't like dating women like I meet at a show, because I don't think that they would. Like, it's cool at first. It's like, oh, you do comedy, that's so cool. Okay, let's go hang out. And that's all fun and games until they realize, like, oh, no, you really want to be, like, a great stand-up comedian more than anything else in the world, and you really don't have time for me. Like, if I call a woman at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not because I'm trying to do, like, a booty call necessarily. It's like, hey, I just finished getting off stage. I was drinking with some comics, and I'm heading on the way home. I'm taking a cab, and I want to talk to my boo. You know what I mean? And for some women, it's just like, man, they can't deal with that because it's such a weird schedule. It's so so self-centered. Like, yo, Jerome, you were married before you started?
Yeah, well, no, she already knew I was a comic before we got married.
So where'd you meet her? Was that at a show or, like?
No, not at a show. She was actually a performer herself, so she did, like, spoken word. So she was in school. She kind of understood.
Okay.
She kind of understood the whole traveling part, but Mike's right. It's a lot to ask of somebody that you're in a relationship with. You're like, hey, you know, I got to drive 3 hours away for a $50 show. Is that cool? Normal people don't ask you to do that.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
My girlfriend's been super understanding. Like, she came down to Washington with us and, like, just saw some of the most atrocious things anyone's ever been exposed to. but that's a show in and of itself. But she was just a trooper through the whole thing. And, like, I joke, but I wouldn't give her up for anything, because it's only been, like, 8 months, and she's already been through hell and back with me. So it takes a special kind of woman to date a comedian.
I need somebody with a lot of goals, too. That's my other thing. Like, because I don't want her to be all up in my comedy world. I need her to, like, have something I can be, like, a cheerleader for. So, like, when I'm not doing comedy, you know, I'm, like, not writing or anything, I can just, like, go support her stuff. Like, I don't want my stuff to be the only stuff we care about in a relationship. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. When it happens, it happens. But until then, like, I'll go out on dates, I'll hang out, whatever, get to know people. Eh. Maybe I'm shaded.
Oh.
Jamie, ladies, tweet me at Yo Mike Brown.
you're gonna get a lot of followers tonight. I'm just saying.
I gotta look at my Twitter.
Mike doesn't need more followers. I need more followers. I need to have more than Gordon, because Gordon isn't here tonight. But Gordon gives me hell for having more followers than me. He started later. But follow Don Coyote.
But Gordon be out on them shows, man. He did. I think did he host for Paul Mooney, or did he open for Mooney?
Oh, he was a
feature.
He was opening for Paul Mooney that week.
Yeah, and Paul Mooney called him a nigga.
In his defense, Paul Mooney calls everybody a nigga. I seen
him on
the lamp.
That's what Paul Mooney does, right?
That's a thing.
That's his whole shtick.
Wow, that's a life achievement right there.
I've made it. Well, guys, we're about to wrap up. Tell us where we can find more information about Decepticomics, what venues you've got booked this week or coming up, to our audience that's listening in.
Okay, I'll do the shows that we got coming up. So September 28th is the nearest show coming up. We'll be at 10th Street Live in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Again, the show's going to start at 9. We got our ticket information up. If you can follow us, we'll be tweeting out the links to that and to the Facebook event, so you can see who all come and get directions and stuff like that. Real nice venue in Kenilworth. Everybody can get in, have a good drink. And then October 18th, we're going to the Houston Hangout in Houston, Texas. We've hooked up with somebody that's putting together a meet and greet down there. It's going to be a good show. It's us and a couple rappers, Don Dapper and Spit Raw out of Houston, real good. I sat down and listened to their stuff, so if you get a chance, download their music. They got some real nice stuff. So that's October 18th. The ticket information for that will be up on my Twitter, be up on all of our Twitters. And also have HoustonHangout.com is the website for that. So they got hotel information, reservation information, everything you need to know about going to Houston and see us there. And we got some other. We're planning on going, you know, back to New York City sometime soon. So, but we're just trying to figure out, you know, the wins and the whats on that.
Probably.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Good stuff. Do you guys mind hanging out with us in Blurtology to talk with some of our listeners? We have a forum after the show. It's blurtology.co.
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah,
I'll
if Brown is going to be there, I'll be there.
Brown might make a cameo. He might just go in there. You know, he's got to stretch out those 15 minutes.
He doesn't have anything else better to do, so I can't seem to be there.
So we'll be on blurtology.co/blurred forum after the show. I'll tweet it out. Next week, guys, we will not have a show. We're going to take a break. Next week is Labor Day weekend, so going to enjoy time with, barbecues, friends, family. So we won't have a show next week. But the week after next, September 8th, we will have guest Tiffany Mack Fitzgerald. She is the founder and creator of Black Girls Golf. So you definitely want to tune in for that. Golfing is not just a sport. It's also a strategic way to climb up the corporate ladder. So tune into that podcast September 8th. Again, no show next week. Thank you guys so much. This was an amazing show. Hilarious.
Thank you. Heckler wasn't expected.
The heckler was not. That was not planned.
Hey, look, it could have gone like that other show. Remember that one show that turned really sour all of a sudden?
Was that the interracial dating one?
Yeah. Something like that. It just went south real fast. Yeah, it didn't go like that.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, so much, and we'll see you guys on September 8th. Take care, everyone.
Finally, I'm finally free.